Hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Hanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today. And don't go anywhere, because we're going to talk about a wonderful book. If you're anything like me, you love a good crime drama. I love the good crime, especially the true story crimes on TV. I don't like violence particularly, but I love the human psychology that makes people do things and kind of unraveling the mystery of human nature in gone wrong, I suppose I should say. And this is a book that is exactly that. It's brilliant. It's wonderfully written. It is certainly, certainly wonderfully written, because Jane Ann Phillips, the author, has written at least, five books. We're going to ask her in just a moment. And this is about a man named Harry Powers. In Chicago in 1931, Asta Eicher, mother of three, is lonely and desperate, and she is kind of lost for money because she's a widow. And she begins to receive seductive letters from a chivalrous, elegant man named Harry Powers, who promised to cherish her and protect her, ultimately to marry her and care for her and her children. Weeks later, the whole family is dead. That is the premise of this book. And it is based on a true story that actually goes back to Jane's childhood, which we're going to talk about in a moment. I want to welcome Jane Ann Phillips to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
I'm great, Shannon. Great to be here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. This is really a truly wonderful book. You have gotten some wonderful reviews, including Stephen King, who says it's brilliant. Everyone says it's brilliant, because it is. And as I said, you know, there's nothing probably more brilliant than basing it on true, because, you know, just the human nature is so interesting. But this is a true story, as I mentioned, or based on a true story. Harry Powers. Tell us a little bit about Harry and how you came to do this.
When I was growing up, you know, Quietdale is a tiny hamlet near my hometown, mm-hmm. and my mother used to tell me of walking at age six, holding her own mother's hand, remembering walking along this dusty, hot country road in August of 1931, where hundreds, in fact, thousands of people walked past the so-called murder garage, where Harry Powers, not his real name, had killed the Eicher family, and as well as another victim. And she used to say, you know, how she could see, parked along the road as far as she could see, were the tops of many black cars. And as they walked past, they heard the sound of the crowd taking apart the murder garage piece by piece for souvenirs. And that really stayed with me, as well as wondering why my wonderful grandmother, whom I never met, but of whom I always heard great stories, would take her six-year-old to such a place. Mm. But the book sort of deals with that, with the fact that the local populace saw this as almost an otherworldly event that had little to do with them. Harry Powers was actually writing to over 200 women under different aliases at the time he was arrested. He wrote to Asta Eicher as Cornelius Pearson.
Oh.
He was known in Clarksburg, West Virginia, as Harry Powers, but his real name is something we discover in Quietdale, one of the many mysteries the book delves into.
Fascinating story. You know, it reminds me of, now, of course, we have internet dating. Who would he be then? But, you know, now, you know, as opposed to how he was then. But he was doing that sort of thing back then when people were very vulnerable, as they are now. Do you draw a correlation between how we live today of not knowing people and letting them into our lives as he did then?
Well, you know, as one of my characters says, that this type of thing should happen to someone is like being struck by lightning. Mm-hmm. It's so rare. And there's also a comment in Quietdale that there have been and will always be men like Harry Powers. We didn't know about them in 1931. There was not a kind of fixation on serial murder. You see that in every television show,
right,
now.
Right, exactly.
It makes for a good plot device, I suppose, for TV dramas.
Mm-hmm.
But Quietdale really looks at Americana itself. You know, this time, 1931, is so fascinating because it's so different from now, and yet there are similarities. I mean, at that time, newspapers were the lifeblood of the nation. Every tiny town had two papers that published two editions, and that is how people kept in touch. And people wrote letters, sometimes daily. It wasn't unusual to have a daily correspondence.
Mm-hmm.
And these matrimonial agencies, not about dating, but about marriage, grew up through the newspapers, and that was how Harry Powers found his victims. He was extremely skillful. I mean, I find a way in Quietdale to explain why Asta Eicher might have been particularly vulnerable. But in 1931, of course, people were desperate.
Right.
And it plays out in interesting ways because the press played the case as a warning and lesson to women to stay within society's bounds, to stay mm-hmm. within society's protections. Whereas my reporter, Emily Thornhill, a sort of 35-year-old career woman who does not live conventionally for the time, is a kind of perfect foil to Asta. She's much more sophisticated. She has her own resources. And she finds it worse than irritating that the case is being played almost to blame the victim.
Right.
And the book looks at the society itself and why society does need to protect vulnerable women and children. It's not all about individual choice. The fact that she really, Asta Eicher, really had nowhere else to turn played a big part in what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also kind of looking at sort of the human dimension even beyond 1931, because Quiet Dell is a kind of a celestial book in that it deals with physical dimensions beyond our own. The children are very much alive in the book. The book starts before the murders ever occurred. We get
right.
to know each and every one of them, particularly Annabelle, the very imaginative 9-year-old, who would definitely have grown up to be a writer. But the reader begins to realize that the images and fantasies that Annabelle thinks about actually come to pass in some translated form in real life, which brings to mind all kinds of questions about how things occur, particularly very, very coincidental things, being in a specific place at a specific time, the way that lives kind of move together over great distances. And the book is also about hope. I mean, it's about those people who intervened, though the family were strangers to them, who intervened to make sure justice was done. And they also remembered the family who left no relatives at all, no one to remember
Sad.
Them. Emily Thornhill remembers the family in her own life mm-hmm. in very exciting and unexpected ways. The book also centers on a love affair and a new family that sort of comes into being around the tragedy of the Eicher's deaths.
Was it sad writing this book? Did you really feel for Annabelle, her mom, and the vulnerability of them and what happened to them? Was this difficult to write?
Well, it was difficult to write, but I knew the arc of the book, that my task or what I wanted to do was save the children in some way, to make them alive, to show that they're spiritually superior to the predator they encountered. And that's something we definitely see. And Annabelle's consciousness, of course, moves through the book even after her death.
Mm-hmm.
She's not a ghost. No one ever sees her. But her influence is very sort of tangibly felt, particularly by those who feel closest to her. There's also a great dog in this book.
Right.
Associated Press said that Duty, spelled D-U-T-Y, was one of the best dogs in American fiction.
Yes.
And in fact,
true.
This was the Eicher's dog, a little Boston Terrier, not very pretty, who had been adopted by the Eicher's after his first family perished in a tornado. So this was his second family who also vanished. And in Quiet Dell, Duty is adopted by Emily Thornhill and becomes part of this.
Well, it's
new
a brilliant
family.
Book, and everything just works in with each other, and it's just such a fascinating read. And as I said, this is what, your fifth book?
Seventh book.
Oh, my goodness, seventh book. Well, no wonder you're so brilliant at this. We unfortunately are out of time, but Jane Ann Phillips, the book is wonderful. The book is Quiet Dell. Definitely go get it. You will not put this book down. If you're in the car, go to shannonscorner.com. Everything is there. Jane Ann Phillips, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on writing this wonderful book.
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you so much, everyone. We have to wrap it up for today, but until next time, don't forget to make good choices.